Good morning. Our scripture reading from today is from Exodus 2, verses 2 through 5. I'll be reading from the RSV version. The woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a godly child, she hid him for 3 months. And when she could hide him no longer, she took for him a basket made of bulrushes and daubed with bitumen and pitch. And she put the child in it and placed it among the reeds at the river brink. And his sister stood at a distance to know what would be done to him. Now the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked beside the river. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her maid to fetch it.
I love that passage, but it's not the one I meant to tell him. Turn the page. Exodus chapter 3. We'll start with verse 2. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and lo, the bush was burning, and yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And then the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see. God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Do not come near. Put off your shoes from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. If you'd been here Wednesday night, those of you that were would know what a wonderful time we had together in devotional. One of the songs especially that was sung is, I think it's number 101. I'm not going to try to lead it, but and it's that one that says, we're standing on holy ground. When we sing, we not only, I say only, the main thing we do is we give glory to God and praise to God. We ask petitions to God. It's sort of a prayer to music. But we also encourage one another and exhort one another and teach one another. I was greatly encouraged. I've had that song in my mind ever since then, which affects what I want to think about and study about. So the sermon that I'd planned to preach today was pushed back on the schedule somewhere. And I can't help but talk today about holy. The word means separate. God is holy, not only because he never lies and always does good. He's holy because he's different than we are. We lie, he doesn't. He's holy. We steal, he doesn't, because he's holy. He's not us. We die, he doesn't, because he's holy. We have limited abilities and limited. There's only so high we can jump and only so far we can run, but not God. He's holy. And when we get close to him, we're getting close to what's holy. This holy being set apart means a place where God is. Moses didn't have any trouble understanding that, because as soon as God said that, Moses falls to the ground, covers his face. Anything he's seeing of God, he's just barely peeking, because he is scared out of his mind. And, of course, we are. But I'm not going to talk today about the fear part of approaching the holy. I want to just talk about holy. I believe this is holy ground. It's holy because it was set apart for God's business. Years ago, back in the late 80s, when this church was looking for a place to expand and have a new facility, searched, and thanks to Brother Eddie and others, we were able to find this spot. It's a wheat field. And people separated their money or set it apart and made great sacrifices to buy it, and they bought this piece of property for one reason, to glorify God. to bought this property so that we would be able to come to an appointed place when we worship God. And we bought this property so that we would have this place where facilities could be built that would help us serve God and do the job that God has given us. That's what makes it holy. The dirt's the same. And we wouldn't want to worship the spot or the buildings, even though they're beautiful, but we do know that there's something unique about this, don't we? And one of the things that I'm the proudest of and I brag the most about when I'm talking to other preachers is with all of our warts and all of our problems, and we've got them, you know we've got them, we understand about holy. We understand about dedication. We understand. I tell them, everyone that'll listen to me, that this church separates themselves from their money freely to do God's will, and that makes that money holy or different from other money. I'm proud, and I'm in a good way. I'm proud, and I tell my friends how wonderful it is that this church, a major part, sometimes the majority part of the money that's spent is spent on either feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, teaching the lost, encouraging the saved. This is what it's all about. I'm glad that part of this holy ground, we spend every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday teaching children the Word of God and lifting up Jesus. Some of those children, this is their only exposure. That's what holy is. It's set apart. But another reason that this is a holy ground and a holy place and a holy assembly is because holy people are here. When Paul was talking about this very thing in the when Peter was talking about this very thing, he would tell us in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, he would say, "But you," talking about Christians, "are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, that you may declare the wonderful deeds of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." The church is called holy, not because we should be better than we are and we're better than most, but that's not the reason we're holy. We're holy because God sent out an invitation and you answered that holy call and you agreed with God, you believed his promises and you obeyed his commandments, and now he calls you a holy nation. In other places, he would talk about that set-apart business when he would say you're his children or his family or the rocks in his building or different ways of setting us apart. Lots of bricks in the world, but there's unique bricks that were put here for this purpose. There's lots of people, but you are a holy people. We get nervous saying the word because we think it means we're really, really, really good. Some of you are. But what makes us holy is we've been set apart by God by answering his call and obeying his commandments. That response of faith opens the door to grace so that we can be set apart and so that when we come together in this building, but we come together as his people, there is a holy assembly. I like to think about that sometime. This week I've been thinking about it. This morning some of you got up real early because some of you drove 80 miles to get here. And you came because you wanted to be in an assembly with God's people. Isn't that wonderful? Some of you came from not so far away, but I like to fantasize about what it would be like if you were up in a blimp or a hot air balloon sitting up over this watching the people as they come together to assemble. The word church isn't in the Bible, in the original, but assembly is. And now almost every time we talk about church in Scripture, He's talking about the assembly, this unique thing when God's holy people assemble to meet with our holy God, who's different but likes us anyway, and who wants to have fellowship with us. This is something you shouldn't get out of your mind. You should have it in your mind all the time, because other people who aren't part of the holy nation are watching the holy nation, and they're trying to decide whether there's anything to it or not. And so when the more we look like our Holy Father and the more we act like His Son, the more attractive He becomes to those people who are not so holy or not set apart. It's a glorious and wonderful thing. This place was a wheat field. But now it's a beautiful place. And you know, there's something about places. I know we always have trouble getting our mind away from stuff, but there's some places that are just so precious to you because you know what happened there or is happening there. Old brother Tiddle wrote the Psalms, the wonderful songs. He wrote one of them, that earth holds no treasure, but perish with using. You know that wonderful song. He wrote it one day at a meeting in a little church, little white building, where he was baptized as a boy. And he went back to preach there. And that afternoon, he was sitting out in the yard under a hickory nut tree, he said. And he wrote, earth holds no treasures. You know that held a treasure to him, but perish with using. If the world lasts long enough, this may become a wheat field again. But heaven holds all to me. But sometimes we have these little links that when we're there, we remember. That's why kids want to go back to camp over and over again. Right? That's why some of those kids that learned the gospel across the parking lot, they show back up because that spot reminds them of what's holy. It's wonderful, isn't it? So a holy place with holy people assembling to meet the holy God who promised us when two or three are gathered together in His name, He's there. And so we get to meet with God, not in a frightening way in front of a burning bush, but we get to meet with Him in a structured way so that we can survive the meeting. It's a wonderful thing. This people who answered the call of God, who believe His plan and His promises and obeyed His commandments, God has set Him apart. When we meet God, we should meet Him as Moses met God at the burning bush. We should meet Him with reverence, awaiting His instructions. When we meet God, we should meet Him like Jacob met God at Bethel, with wonder to receive His promises. When we meet God, we should meet God like Israel met Him in the temple, with obedience, following every ritual, every commandment, everything, ready to obey. When we meet God, we should meet Him like Israel met God at Ebenezer to find salvation and find the help that we need. When Paul wrote to the church in Corinth in 2 Corinthians, he tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, go there if you will, verse 17 and following, he says, if I can find it, here it is. What agreement has the temple of God with idols? He's separate. He's not that. Verse 16. For we are the temple of the living God. As God says, I will live in them and move among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now, verse 17. Therefore come out from among them, and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch nothing unclean, and then I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Every Lord's Day we have this glorious opportunity to remind ourselves of not only what Jesus did on the cross, most important day in the world, but the next most important day was the day that you decided to come out from among them and be separate and become a Christian, to come to God humbly, sorrowfully, penitently, because you needed forgiveness, you needed salvation, and you're buying into His plan, and you want to be known as one of His. That day that you became a Christian, that day when you were buried, you died, and you were buried in water, and you were raised to walk this new life of holiness, separate apart. God, another word just like holy is the word saint. Sanctified, that's what God does with you, sets you apart, and you're now useful to Him, and you're part of His kingdom that day. So you got these 2 days that are paramount, the day that Christ opened the way to us and made it possible, and the day you said yes to that invitation. And there's one more day, and that's today, because today you come together and you re-preach that message that you preached when you said yes to God, and you reaffirm that promise that you made to Him, and you cling to the hope that you have because of Him, and you enjoy the sanctification that He gives you, and you do it when you remember His death, and you, what does He say? You examine yourself, you go through all of this, and what do you say? If I had it to do over again, I'd do the same thing. I do it again. Proud's not the right word. Glad is. Glad that I'm here. And I'm encouraged when I'm here because you're here. And I know even though we don't talk much, we should say amen more. Thank you to the few of you that do. But even though we don't talk much, what are we shouting out here? I am a Christian. And I'm a Christian because Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead. And I'm a Christian because He bought me back and He raised me up and He changed me and He adopted me and He claimed me and He lets me call Him Father. And I'm a Christian. I have to be. And when I assemble in His presence, I believe that because He said it, when I assemble in His presence in this holy place with these holy people before a holy God, I remember. And those 3 days that are separated by years and distance and time, all come together to today, the Lord's Day. And where else would I be? Because I've come out from among them. I belong to Him. And it's where I should be. Right? And if I'm not, if you're not, you need to be. You need to be. And don't waste that day when God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. Don't waste that day that Paul would say is of great importance, most importance. And don't miss that promise that if it hadn't happened, we'd be a joke. We'd be worse off than bacteria growing on cheese, because we'd know what's going on and we'd know we have no hope. Seize this day. Love this day. Recognize we're not perfect, but we're getting better because of those 2 days. And we get to have this time together to worship Him and to be in this holy assembly. There's nothing else going on earth that even begins to compare with what happens when Christians come together. And if you're not a Christian, please don't let this day go by without making that decision. And if you need to come to Jesus, this is the time. Won't you come while we